Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. The one thought that's on my heart this morning is the fact that God's people can live in such a way that they cause the Lord to delight in the things that they choose. When we choose to obey God, when we choose life, when we choose to walk in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God, that causes the Lord to delight in our choices and in what we're doing. The first thing that was on my mind earlier this week was how I was delighting in the week of worship and recreation. And how much joy the word delight means, to be filled with pleasure and joy. And I was delighting in the week of worship and recreation, delighting in the teachings that were going on, delighting in all the things that were happening during our week of camp. And I thought about, what all does the Word of God say about the things that we ought to delight in? What are the things that we're supposed to find pleasure and joy in? There are a lot of different things the Bible tells us that we're supposed to delight in. Then I began to think about yesterday, began to think and meditate about, what does the Lord delight in? What does the Lord find pleasure in? And most of the time, there are probably 100 times in the Bible where the word delight or some form of the word delight are used, but in almost all of those cases, it's either talking about the people of God ought to be delighting in the things that God says we ought to be delighting in, or it tells us what God is delighting in, what God is finding pleasure in. Isaiah chapter 62, Isaiah chapter 62, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, and this is Isaiah speaking, by inspiration of God and from His heart, Isaiah says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." You understand what Isaiah is saying there? He's saying, I'm not going to be quiet until the righteousness of Zion is shining brightly. In other words, he had to be working with the people of Zion, and he wanted to see their righteousness continue to grow, and their righteousness, their light, for them to let their light shine, and as they continue to let their light shine, eventually their righteousness would go forth as brightness. And Isaiah says, I'm not going to stop preaching and teaching. I'm not going to stop correcting until the righteousness of Zion is shining. Then in verse 2 he says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory." Whenever you have righteousness shining in your life, whenever Zion has righteousness shining forth, the people of God are all around, are able to see that righteousness. That's the reason that Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So Isaiah says, I'm going to keep on preaching. I will not be quiet until the righteousness of Zion shines forth. So he says in verse 2, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be called, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and the land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee and in thy land And thy land shall be married. I want you to notice the latter part of verse 4 says that you're no more going to be termed forsaken and desolate, but you're going to be called Hephzibah and Beulah, and you're going to be married. And he says in the middle of all of that, for the Lord delighteth in thee. When does the Lord delight in you? When does the Lord delight in Zion? When does the Lord look at a church and delight in that church? It's when their righteousness is shining forth to the other people around about. And then he says in verse 5, he says, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. When would God rejoice over Zion? It's when this marriage would take place. When Zion becomes married to God. When Zion becomes intimate and is faithful to God. When this marriage takes forth, then God is going to delight over the people and God will rejoice over the people. Now, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord rejoices over His people. And I want us to look now at just a moment before we look at a lot of different things that result in God rejoicing over His people. I want us to think about that there are occasions that the Lord does not rejoice over His people. Look on the very next page in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 65. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 12. The Word of God makes this statement. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 12. The Word of God says, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Now this is the same people that earlier God had rejoiced over them. God says, I'm going to appoint a sword to you now. What's the difference in God delighting over His people and God sending a sword upon His people? It's the choices that they make. You'll see that as we go along. He says in verse 12, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, and by the way, who does God call? Does He call the dead? Does He call those who have no ears to hear? Or does He call His people? He calls His people. And He says, when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. Did not obey. Have you ever told your children to do something and they did not respond? Do you delight over that? Does it cause you joy when you tell your people, when you tell your children to do something and they get out and they do it and they do it with fervency and they do a good job? Does that cause you to delight? But there's an opposite reaction. There ought to be an opposite reaction. When you tell your children to do something or you call them and they refuse to respond, there's an opposite. You do not delight in that. The Word of God says, I've called and you refused. And He says, instead of doing what I've told you, you did evil before mine eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not. You notice the wording there that God says, I delighted not. Again, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 4, just one other statement that we'll look at where God says He did not delight in His people is in Isaiah 66 and verse 4. He says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. The people of God, the children of God, have a choice to make in their lives. You and I have choices every day that we make. We choose to either follow God and serve God and be faithful to God. And when we're doing that, our righteousness shines forth. And when our righteousness is shining forth, then we're not called desolate, but rather, and we're not called forsaken, but we're called Hephzibah. And we're called Beulah when our ways please the Lord. When the Lord is delighting in us Is there a marriage that takes place then, according to Isaiah chapter 62? There's a great marriage that takes place, and the Lord rejoices over His bride, and His bride is rejoicing in the bridegroom. Turn in your Bibles, let's just think. What are some things that when we do choose the right way that the Lord rejoices in? Turn in your Bibles to Luke, first of all, Luke chapter 15. And the word delight does not have to be there as we go to some of these things that cause the Lord to delight. Remember now that the word delight means to find great pleasure and joy in something. Tell me something that you find great pleasure and joy in doing. Not spiritual, just give me an example of something in a natural realm that you find great joy in doing. All right, having your grandchildren, that's really a natural and a spiritual blessing. You had all your children, grandchildren, six out of eight of the grandchildren were at our week of worship. That causes grandparents to be full of joy. When the grandparents see their children and grandchildren bringing forth righteousness and that righteousness is shining forth, it causes great joy in spiritual parents and grandparents when they see that righteousness shining. By the way, if you have ungodly parents, instead of rejoicing when your righteousness is shining forth, it will cause them to dislike what's going on in your life. In Luke chapter 15, the Word of God tells us that Jesus would sit down with sinners. Now, often the devil will distort this teaching as if Jesus would just go around having fellowship with people no matter how they lived. I want you to know that throughout the Scriptures, every time Jesus ever sat down with sinners, He talked to those sinners about what they were doing wrong. He never sat down with sinners and had fellowship with them without confronting them of the sin that was in their lives. So Jesus here in Luke 15 is going to sit down with sinners. But He's going to sit down with sinners to convert them, to see them change, to see them turn unto the Lord. The Word of God says, beginning in verse 4, well, Jesus speaks this parable in verse 3, beginning in verse 3, He spake this parable unto them saying, this is Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 4 now, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. What's the last word there in that fifth verse? Rejoicing. What does the word delight mean? It means to find great pleasure and joy in something. What is it that caused this shepherd to rejoice here in Luke chapter 15? What caused the shepherd to rejoice? Well, he had a sheep that went astray and went out and he found that sheep and he put the sheep on his shoulders and he came home and he was rejoicing because he had found the sheep. Now listen, there's a lesson there in verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I want to just pause right there. That there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Isn't that marvelous? There is joy. I'll tell you, brethren, there were some things that happened this past week at our week of worship and recreation, and happen almost every day in my activities. It is joyful to see people repent. Does the Lord delight when people repent? Is He happy? Indeed He is. The Bible says here, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And by the way, there's some sinners in this congregation, and we need to repent. There's not a person in this building that doesn't need to repent. Not a one. Not a single one. And it is when the people of God begin to repent, and that does not mean feel bad about the sin, but it means to turn away from it. Remorse is when you feel the guilt of sin. Repentance is when you turn away from it. And when you turn away from the sin, there is joy in heaven. And God is well pleased with your life. Much like when Jesus, He didn't sin, but Jesus did things that the Father delighted in what He was doing. In fact, everything Jesus did, the Father delighted in what He was doing. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3 that Jesus, that He submitted to water baptism. And when He went down into the water and came up, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lit upon Him. And the Father from heaven spoke and said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am." What are the last two words there? "I'm well pleased." Good job, son. You did an excellent job. You did what needed to be done. In fact, Jesus said, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It was righteous for Him to be baptized. It was good for Him to be baptized. His righteousness shined forth. And there was intimate fellowship with the Father when the Father said, "This is My beloved Son." Did the Father delight in Jesus? He delighted in everything Jesus did. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus carried Peter, James, and John up on that mountain, the Word of God says that Peter, after he had seen Jesus changed and he saw Moses and Elijah, Peter said, "Let's build three altars, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He probably thought he was exalting Jesus to the level of Moses and Elijah. Well, listen, brethren, Jesus was far superior to Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah were the two greatest men Peter knew from the Old Testament. But whenever Peter said, "Let's build three altars," God spoke from heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And they fell down to the earth. And when they came up, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's what we need to do in our lives. See Jesus only. He is the one that is worthy of all the praise, honor, and glory. He is the only one who has always delighted the Father. He is the only one who has always pleased the Father. However, the people of God, though you don't always please Him, you can please the Father. You can please the Father. Listen. In the same 15th chapter, the Word of God tells us about the prodigal son, starting in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. The Word of God in 11 through the rest of this chapter tells us about the prodigal son. And as the Word of God tells us about the prodigal son, the Word of God tells us how he went away from the Father. Now, do you think the Father delighted when the son went away? Was there any joy in the Father when the son went away? No, there was no joy. There was sorrow. There was heartache. There was grief as the son went away. The son chose to do something that was against his father's will. And he went out and he wasted his father's goods in riotous living. But one day he came to himself and he returned to the Father. And when he came back, the Father greeted him with open arms and hugged him. The Father was delighted to see what? The Father was delighted to see his son coming home. Yes, he did. He ran and met him. The Scripture says the Father said to his servants, "Bring forth." Well, after the son, let me back up to verse 20 and read what the sister just quoted. "And he arose and came to his father." This is Luke 15, verse 20. "The son arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. What does the whole chapter of Luke 15 talk about? The whole chapter is talking about rejoicing, the rejoicing that takes place in heaven over sinners that repent. Every time that you turn away from evil, every time that you repent, it pleases the Lord. You remember when there were... Every time, listen, has God given everybody in this building different talents, different gifts, different abilities? Me and Brother Robbie are, he is as mechanically inclined as anybody I know. He is a genius mechanic. Now, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum from that. I don't have any idea about anything mechanical. Can't fix things mechanically. We're different. And yet we have a lot of similarities in Christ Jesus, don't we? And listen, brethren, God has given him talents in serving the Lord in all different kinds of ways. I have different talents in serving the Lord in different kinds of ways. And all over this congregation, we can go around and everybody, every child of God here, God has given us different talents. And the Lord will delight when you take those talents and gifts that God's given to you and you use them to His honor and glory and your righteousness shines forth. The Lord delights in that. He is well pleased. That's what the parable of the talents is all about. In Matthew 25, whenever in Matthew 25, and you don't have to turn there, you can just listen. But in Matthew 25, in verse 21, when that five talent servant came back and said, "See, I've gained five more talents," what did his Lord say to him? Did his Lord delight in what he had done? He said, "Well done, well done." Was he happy? The Lord was happy. That Lord represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you take what God has given you and you use it to His honor and glory, the Lord is well pleased. And the Lord says, and by the way, brethren, P.S., this does not have anything to do with the final resurrection. This is God judging His people according to their works while they're living here in this world. God is not going to say to me or you or anyone else in the final resurrection, He's not going to say, "Well done, you've been faithful, so go to heaven. You're going to be in the eternal heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the amazing grace of God. It's not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. But our works are very important, and our works can please God while we live here in this world. And God will say to you, day by day in your life, when you're using your talents to His honor and glory, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Enter thou into the kingdom, or enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Because what is the kingdom of heaven? What? Give me the definition. What is the kingdom of heaven? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What do you enter into whenever you do take the talents that God's given you and you use them day by day and you're glorifying Him and your righteousness is shining forth? You enter into His joy. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You enter into the kingdom of heaven. Go with me in closing to... Let's go back to the Old Testament just a moment, if you will. Look at Proverbs. I want you to just notice a couple of other things. And I haven't scratched the surface on delighting. There's so much in God's Word that tells us about things that cause the Lord to delight. Things that the Lord delights in. In Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11, notice please verse 20. Proverbs chapter 11 tells us something else that the Lord delights in. Those of you that have children and grandchildren, how many of you have ever seen your children or grandchildren want to please you? How many of you have ever seen them do something to impress you? How many of you have seen them do something to make you happy? What a marvelous thing it is that we as God's children can do things that our God, our Heavenly Father, will delight in. Look now in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20. The Word of God says, they that are of a froward heart, that is those that rebel against God, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. Does the Lord delight when you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word? What a glory He sheds on our way. And then in verse 15, Proverbs chapter 15 rather, Proverbs chapter 15, I want you to notice in closing verse 8, let me ask you this. Does the Lord always delight in your prayers? Listen carefully. Does the Lord always delight in your prayers? Okay. All right, if you're praising the Lord in your prayers, really praising the Lord, He would be delighting in that prayer. But the Bible says that sometimes the prayers of God's people are an abomination in the sight of God. Their prayers are an abomination. He doesn't delight in their prayers. When is it that the Lord does not delight in their prayers? God does not delight in the prayers of His people when His people are walking contrary to His Word. Look now at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The Word of God says, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, the Word of God says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. You remember back here when the book of Proverbs was written, were they making a lot of sacrifices to the Lord? Burnt offerings and sacrifices? Was the Lord pleased with all those burnt offerings and sacrifices? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, the Word of God says, now I just want you to listen to this, the Word of God says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Do you understand the question? In other words, He's saying, Is the Lord more pleased with your obedience or with you doing wrong and then coming and making those offerings and sacrifices? He makes it clear there to Samuel and through Samuel to Saul, He makes it clear the Lord is much more pleased with obedience than He is burnt offerings and sacrifices. And closing in Proverbs 15 and verse 8. In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, the Word of God makes this statement. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. There are some of you who have prayed this morning that your prayer delighted the Lord. The prayer of the righteous delight the Lord. I hope that God will help us to realize there are many, many ways that we can please our Heavenly Father. There are many things that we can do that the Lord will delight in those things. May God help us to do those things that He delights in rather than doing those things that would cause Him to bring His chastisement upon us.